Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Merry Christmas, Compass. How you doing? This is my favorite Sunday of the year. I love the Sunday before Christmas. It's Christmas Carol Sunday. I am a sucker for nostalgia, and I like all the old carols, and I love to sing them with all the verses. So Kevin, don't take any verses out when you do the carols here. No, he doesn't. He does a great job. And so how many of you have already got all your Christmas shopping done? You're ready, bring it on. 7 days, you don't even need them. You're ready right now. Anybody? Yeah. Overachievers. Well, I know that if you're like me, you're probably in the mad dash to get everything purchased. You want to get all the food planned. Sam's Club, watch out. I'm coming today. so we want to get everything ready. We want to prepare and make sure that we have a gift for everyone who's coming. We want to make sure that we have all the food purchased and made. And we want the picture perfect Christmas, right? We want the card. We want the pictures that we can post and be like, look, it's perfect. I got the perfect Christmas. Well, and you know, also, what has to be perfect for Christmas Day at my house is we have to have the Christmas playlist. It has to be on point. And so I'll be like, Chris, because I'm like, technology, make the technology work. And he'll get together. I know it's so pathetic. Anyway, but he has to have the good Christmas playlist. Now, growing up, my maiden name was Wright. I was not Terry Chandro my whole life. I was Terry Wright. And I grew up in our house. And Christmas at the Wright House meant that we were going to listen to, at length, on vinyl, and eventually on cassette and CD, the Carpenters' Christmas album. Yes, Karen Carpenter. Oh my goodness. And so I grew up, and Christmas, the soundtrack of Christmas, was the carols that I would listen to from the Carpenters' Christmas. Now, sometimes we don't always have that picture perfect Christmas. Even when we're like, yeah, I love Jesus. I know the real reason for Christmas and all that. But sometimes Christmas isn't picture perfect. And there was one particular year where I was mourning the loss of my grandmother. She'd actually been gone a couple years, but this year it was just like, oh, my heart just ached for grandma to be there on Christmas. And you know, being the young lady growing up that I was, there was a boy that I just thought I loved so much, and he broke up with me. And so grandma wasn't at Christmas, and my heart was broken, and I was going to be alone forever. Silly Terry. And so after we opened up all the gifts and we ate our big meal, I snuck off when nobody would notice, and I went to my room. And I cried into my pillow, and on repeat on my CD, I played Merry Christmas, Darling by Karen Carpenter, and just cried. We have a sample. Do we have a sample? You need to hear Karen. Is it there? Maybe? I thought it was going to be there, but anyway, here's the thing. If this Christmas, if this is a Christmas where maybe there's been a broken relationship, or there's been, you know, a loss in the family, and you're finding that Christmas is hard, do not give in to the darkness. Do not give in to Karen Carpenter. So, okay. Maybe we'll have that later, but that's okay. Here's the thing, guys. Picture perfect Christmas doesn't really exist. And so today, I have the great honor and privilege to share with you all the Christmas story. And many of us have heard it over and over and over. But I have found that as I read, when I'm, you know, doing my devotion time and, you know, doing my soaping, there has been multiple times where different aspects of the Christmas story have spoken to my heart, not just at Christmas, but all the year through. So since I am a sucker for nostalgia, and it was my day to speak, I was like, because we had talked about last week having maybe a nativity scene in A Very Compass Christmas, and then it didn't work out, and I was like, that's okay, y'all. I'm having a nativity scene on the day I speak. So we're doing this. And Carl Zindel, you know what? Let's go ahead and bring out the manger. And Stacy, could you bring out the costumes? Carl Zindel built me a manger this week because he can make things. Yay! we can put the baby in. you know, it's not Christmas. No, we're not there yet. So just the manger. We got to get it right. Don't look at the baby. Okay. So what I want to do today is I want to go through, and I knew that all the kids were going to be in here. And so I'm like, I'm going to do this kind of like kids' church style. And I want to make this so that you'll have to stay on your toes and pay attention. Okay, so we're going to talk about all of the different people that were involved in the story of Jesus' birth. So Trinity, I need you to be my Mary. Come on up. And come on up the stairs here or over there. And Miss Stacy's going to get you dressed up. And we're going to talk about Mary to start off. Now, Mary's account takes place in Luke 1, 26 through 38. So she's going to get dressed up. And we're going to read about Mary. And here's the thing is I love God's word. And so I'm putting it all up there. I'm not just going to read it to you because I want you to see it. And anyway, it's a Christmas story, and it's my Sunday, so I do what I want. Okay, anyway. Okay, Luke 1, 26 through 38. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." That would be freaky, just saying. Can you imagine an angel appearing? Oh, okay, sorry. Confused and disturbed, I bet that's an understatement, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Okay, so that's a lot to take in. Trinity, would you? This is my daughter, Trinity. And I have to admit, guys, like, when I was a kid, and we would do this, and you'd put on bed sheets, and you'd act out the manger scene at church. I always wanted to be Mary, and I'm always a stinking shepherd. Okay, so I let my kid be Mary. Sorry. Do you feel special? Okay. Oh, she wanted to be a shepherd. Oh, well, oh, well. I can't win. Okay, that's all right. So I'm just saying, and Mary was young, and she was engaged and in love and excited, and here comes this angel who appears to her and tells her that she's going to have a baby and that he's going to reign forever. So Mary's like, okay, hold up. Here's what she says. She says, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but she will conceive a son, and she is now in her sixth month, for the Lord of God will never fail." Okay, so she's like, whoa, hold up. Like, I'm in love with Joseph. We're going to get married. We're going to the chapel. We're doing the whole thing. But we ain't doing married stuff. And so how is this going to happen? And so, right? And this is important, guys. You're like, people, this is part of, like, Jesus' story. And so the fact that Joseph was not involved in this situation, it's a key doctrinal thing that I want you all to know. Okay? Okay. All right, virgin birth. It was a thing. It happened. And so the baby within her was going to be from the Holy Spirit. So here's what Mary says. This is awesome. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And the angel left her. So here's what, if I was in kids' church, I'd be like, kids, here's the big deal. Mary said, "Yes, God. Whatever that is you have for me, whatever it is that you have for me to do, I'm in. Yes." And she rejoiced in it. And there's a whole like Mary song that's in the Bible where she's just rejoicing and she's worshiping God for letting her have this part in bringing the Savior to the world. So now, if somebody came up to me though and was like, "Yeah, like I'm pregnant, but you know, it's God's," we'd all be like, I don't think so, right? So Mary had to go and she had to tell Joseph this. So Jonas has agreed to be Joseph. So Jonas, come on up. Stacy's going to dress you up. So come on down. Yes. Okay, so Mary has to go, and she has to tell Joseph what's up. And he is he's great and all, but he's like, I don't think so, right? Because that's unheard of. So let's read about, I know this is embarrassing. This is not real. This is just Trinity acting like Mary. Okay, she seems nervous. Okay, love, here we go. Okay, so we're going to talk about Joseph. And his account that I want to read is from Matthew 1, verse 18 through 21. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break off the engagement. Quietly. Okay, now I'm going to break here. And we all know that like this all works out okay, but I just want to stop here. And I just want to, like, this is kind of one of those soap moments. It's like, so Mary's got this amazing revelation from God and he's going to use her in a big way and big stuff's going to happen. But she's got to like go tell Joseph this. And since he had to consider it, he had to take some time. God's going to speak to him in a dream. There was an overnight time, okay, at least one overnight that Mary's like, Joseph, I don't even know what he's going to do. I don't, like, this doesn't make sense. So she had to be a little, like, that had to be upsetting. So I just want you to know that sometimes God's given you a vision, God's given you a plan, and you're just hanging on. And so you just got to get through the rough times, even when you maybe don't see it, believe in faith. If God speaks something to your heart, hang on to that. Okay, I soaked that out. Sorry, that's extra. So, but here's the thing. Joseph was a righteous man, and he was going to put her away quietly. So back in those days, if somebody ended up pregnant before they were married, or had, you know, she had been unfaithful to Joseph, she could be like publicly humiliated and stoned to death. Like she could die. Okay. Like it's terrible, but that's the facts of where they were. And Joseph was a righteous man. And so as he was thinking about this, he's like, this stinks so bad. And I really care for her, but I don't want anything bad to happen to her. And so rather than disgrace her publicly, he was going to let it go quietly. And so here's one other thing I soaked out this week. This is an extra, but it says that Joseph, it refers to him as a righteous man. And so part of the fruit of him being a righteous man was when he had been wronged, he was going to respond in grace. He was going to defend himself, but he was going to respond in grace. He was not going to go on Facebook and be like, yo, you know what Mary did? She's horrible. You all should hate her. I'm hurting. Everybody, woe is me. So just a little side note here. Fruit of righteousness in our life is that we respond in grace when we are hurt. Okay, but here's what happened. Joseph goes to bed. An angel appears to him in a dream and says, it's all real. You can do this. Marry her. And so an angel appears to Joseph. He gets up and he goes and he takes Mary as his wife. So the main point for Joseph is that he was righteous and obedient. All right, Joseph, high five, righteous and obedient Joseph. Okay. Yay! I look so cute. I hope you are. I hope you like this. I think this is awesome. Okay. So, here's what happened. So they are together. They've decided, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be together and we're going to have this baby. Well, so in those days, we're going to read about the birth of Jesus, and that's in Luke 2. And verse 1 through 7, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. So basically, everybody's got to go to your hometown, and we're going to count everybody. We want to see how many people are in the big, mighty Roman Empire. And you don't mess around with the Roman Empire. You can't say, well, I got a pregnant. No, you go. So they make the long trip to Bethlehem, okay? And the baby is born there. Let's read it, okay? Verse 6, I'm going to read there. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available to them. Okay, and so many of you have heard other translations where it'll say there was no room in the inn, and we kind of get an idea like the Holiday Inn was booked, the Ramada, the Doubletree. That's not really how it was. Okay, I learned this when I was in When I was in Bible college, I took a Synoptic Gospels class, and our professor had lived in Israel for many years, and he studied. He could speak and write Hebrew, and so he had all this cool insight. So here's the thing. Is the author saying there was no lodging available to them or there was no room in the inn? That's the author's kind way of saying, because here's what would happen. You would go to your hometown, and you would find your family, like your bloodline. You'd be like, hey, I'm here for the census, and they'd put you up. So basically, because of people not, the family not buying Joseph and Mary's tale, their family, Joseph's family, sent them to the barn to be born. There was family drama on the first Christmas, yo. Like, that's horrible. Like, seriously, if a pregnant woman came and is in labor to you at any hotel or at your house, and she's in labor, are you going to say, go to the barn? You're going to like, hey, let's do this right here. Like, you help. So, this blew my mind. I was like, what? So here's the thing. So if you've got problems and maybe there's a break in your family and they don't understand you, or you've got just strife and brokenness in your family, Jesus can identify with you because that was his growing up experience. They sent him to the barn to be born. Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry. That just like that hurts my heart. Okay. So while this is happening, the baby's born, Jesus is born, and he's in the manger. And then over nearby, there were shepherds. I got some shepherds. I need my shepherds to go ahead. I got a few of those. So come on up, shepherds. And Miss Stacy, you know who you are. I've already got you all lined up. And Miss Stacy's going to help you get dressed. Are you here, shepherds? Oh, there's one, two, three. Well, there we go. Four shepherds. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Is I always wanted to be Mary, and I was always a shepherd. But as I was reading this, my heart got really the most excited about the dumb shepherds. They're not dumb. Let me tell you. Shepherds in that day were not high on the class list. They were not well respected. As a matter of fact, they were thought of so poorly that they couldn't even give testimony in court. Shepherds were like the gum on the, you know, considered like the gum on the bottom of your shoes. Like they were grody shepherds. I don't think you're grody. I think you're kind of cute. Look at him. Okay, sorry. So this is who the shepherds are. This is how they, were in society and in life. So let's read about the shepherds. Luke 2, verses 8 through 16. That night, there were shepherds laying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, I'll bet. But the angel of the Lord told them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign." Here's how you're going to know, they said. "You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." So, like, not only are angels appearing so you know it's real, but the baby's going to be in a barn, and not just in a barn, but in the manger. This is a sign to you. And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And when the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds turned to each other and said, "Let's go to Bethlehem." Okay, guys, get this. Oh, place them. They're looking good. They're looking good, my shepherds. Okay. God sent an angel, and then he sent an army of angels. And angels are not these pretty, you know, blonde-headed girls with white robes and like just cute and dainty. They are the heaven's armies. So you've got warriors who are appearing, an army of them, and they are proclaiming that the good news that Jesus has been born. And if you are feeling like you don't fit in, if you feel like you're just not, if you're feeling insignificant, I want you to know from the shepherds that God goes out of his way to make sure that the people on the fringes, the people who feel insignificant, this is for you. I don't want you to miss the message. This good news is for you, for the down and out, for the lowly. This message is for you. So if you're broken, if you're feeling like you just don't cut the mustard and no matter where you go or what you do, you just have this heaviness, good news of great joy. This message is for you, and God is going out of his way to get in your way so that you can have a relationship with him. This is, I love the stupid shepherds. You're just awesome. Okay. I mean, I don't mean that really. I don't know. I say stupid for no good reason. Okay. Shepherds, you're looking awesome. Okay. So now we're just about where we need to be to make this a picture perfect. You know what we need? We need the sheep. We need some sheep. I have some sheep. I have some mommies who made and daddies who made costumes for me, for my little sheep. Come on, sheep. Oh, they're so awesome. Come by my sweet shepherds. All right, we need the sheep by the shepherds. Oh, that's one sheep. I'm going to count sheep, two sheep. All right, here, we can put one here on the... Oh, yes. Oh, we have sheep. Okay. So here's what, and turn around so you can see, so the people can see you. They want to see, oh, there you go, Chance, good job. Okay, so here's the thing that's cool. And sheep, you have a very important role. And the sheep, I think, would have been very happy that Jesus was born. Because before Jesus came, what the Jewish people would do to make atonement for their sin so that they could have relationship with God is the poor sheep would go and they would get sacrificed, right? Yeah. But Jesus was, he's referred to as the Lamb of God. And so what Jesus did when he grew up, he was like 33 when he was crucified. And the blood of Jesus made it so we don't have to sacrifice sheep anymore. Aren't you happy about that? Okay, so I need my photographer to come up. We got to get this picture perfect. Chris, here, sit up a little bit there, my darling, and let's bring the baby in. Oh, you're looking great. Okay, so we got photographers. Okay, so here's the thing. Christmas is for you. Don't get bought into the picture perfect Christmas that you got to have everything just perfect. And it just... sometimes it's not even achievable, the ideas that we reach for. The real reason for Christmas is that when we're in the dark and we were broken and we didn't have a relationship with God, that he moved heaven and earth to make it so that we can know him. Giving up all of his, I mean, Jesus was fully God and fully man, but here he was, he gave up all that glory in heaven to come and have to have his mommy change his diapers. Completely man. Completely just surrendered to being human and relying on his parents to take care of him. Christmas is for you. God is going out of his way to make sure that you know that he wants to have a relationship with you more than anything. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, that you were the baby in the manger and that now you are our risen Savior. And Lord, I pray for those today who've not yet made a decision to follow you, Lord, with their life. And I pray that your Spirit would draw them and they would take that step today to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to you, Lord. I acknowledge you're the only way to get to God. And so I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to accept this gift that you've given so graciously. And Lord, I pray for those who this Christmas season may find them in want, whether in financial need or with relationship loss, or those dealing in heartache. Lord, I pray that your presence would be overwhelming. And I pray that the joy and the good news that those angels proclaimed would dwell in our hearts, even as we walk through things that maybe are difficult. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.